Hi, this is Ken Arnold from the Night Watchman, and you are listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Oopsie, forgot to hit the record button. We're listening to episode 199, already in progress.
In a movie?
Oh, is it the fruition of everything I ever wanted in a movie?
Yes, it's all come together.
I don't know about that, but I would say that I was pretty damn impressed with the first movie on our list.
But I figure you're going to talk about it for a while, so might as well get into it right immediately.
It's right up there with Dr. Snobsky. Avengers Infinity War is the first movie on our list, directed by the Russo brothers, and starring everybody. Everybody. Every possible Marvel character you can
imagine. Agent Coulson wasn't in it.
No, Agent Coulson was not in it.
He was hot guy.
No hot guy. I mean,
Ant-Man. Ant-Man could have been there, you just didn't see him.
Yes.
Oh,
very small.
Or the Vanisher could have been there, but you didn't see him.
No Peter.
There was two Peters, but not that Peter.
That's true. Yes, no X-Men were in this movie.
That sounds like a sex joke.
Yes. They took the Peters out. Hey, 10 years of culmination in Thanos acquiring the gems and assembling the Infinity Gauntlet. It's one hell of a ride, and, since it's already hit 2 billion, I'm assuming that everybody on the planet has seen it now.
And they're gone.
So, what's that?
Even
yeah, exactly. So, at this point, if we spoil this movie for you, then... F you.
That's your fault.
Yes, exactly. You had lots of opportunities to see this. It's been out for a couple weeks.
You've had 3 weeks. We can talk about it freely now.
Exactly. As I said, I love this movie. I thought it was fantastic. I was worried about Thanos because, there is the potential of him being a big purple Shrek and looking foolish and looking fake. And, I thought Thanos is fantastic in this movie, and his reasoning is not sound. It's still crazy, but he has a logic to what he's doing, and
it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it makes sense to him, and on some level he can justify it. He goes through some emotions in this film too that I wasn't quite expecting him to have.
True. And I mean, he's like the hero of his own story, right?
That's why the movie ends with Thanos will return. It's the Avengers are, and the Guardians of the Galaxy are kind of good players in his story.
That was a smack in the face. It's like, okay, well, we've just put you through this. By the way, Thanos will be back to tear your heart out again.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's quite the ride. My problem with it is I know Thanos, and I know the Infinity Gauntlet, and while it's great that all these things happen in the film, there's so many ways they can undo it with the glove that, and they do in the comics, that the emotional impact was still there seeing it the first time, but rewatching it and thinking about it, I think, it's kind of like pulling the audience's heart out, and it's feasting on it, and then saying, later on, oh, but by the way, we figured out how to give it back to you. And that'll be the second film.
I watched it 3 times, and I still feel the emotional impact each time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go.
Yes, we're going to kill off their biggest franchises.
Right?
In this film, this Avengers film, we're going to destroy Spider-Man and Black Panther. Black Panther just made, second biggest, after Avengers, it's fallen to probably third or something, but it still did fantastic box office and was did a lot for people around the world, and, I don't know, I thought it was awesome. I thought everything about it was great. I thought every character was motivated, everyone had their little moments, even though I think Thanos was the character with the most screen time at 28 minutes. 28 minutes in the film, in a 2.5-hour movie, and all of the other characters have, Thor has, 15 minutes in the film, Captain America is like 7 or something like that. It's not, they don't have a lot of screen time. They're in it.
Yeah, I thought they, how many minutes did Black Widow have? Because I didn't think she did a lot.
Like 6 minutes or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in a few scenes when they fight in Scotland.
Oh, right.
Right, so, but yeah, a lot of characters didn't have a lot. It's just, they're there for the right moment to say the right thing. I think the least screen time was Bucky.
Yeah, because he didn't come in until, yeah, like, 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah, exactly.
Same as Black Panther, though. But.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think he comes in earlier when Black Panther says, oh, I have something I want to give to him. And then, well, he comes forward and he gives him the arm.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember where that fell in the film, but...
I think that was after they... that might have been when they said that they needed to get Vision's thing out.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, okay, this is a place where they can do it.
Right.
I thought the editing was really good and how they went into each storyline, and I thought, like, yeah, the pacing was great.
For that many characters, for this to be so coherent and flow so well, I mean, the Russo brothers really need to be commended. And actually, the one thing I would say is, finally as well, before I turn, is that I think this film is the first time we've actually seen a superhero crossover comic translated properly into a film.
Question.
So, yes.
Since when can Bruce Banner tell Hulk to come out? He usually doesn't have that much control over it.
No, but usually he gets mad and turns into the Hulk.
Right.
And so
Hulk
here he was mad and angry, and he could feel the Hulk resisting him.
It's just erectile dysfunction. Don't make him feel bad about it.
That doesn't make sense. That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it was some blockage. That's all.
He could. Sorry. What didn't make sense? That he could feel the Hulk saying no.
Yeah, that he could say. Like usually there's a point where he knows he's turned into the Hulk, and then Banner disappears when he is the Hulk. That made no sense to me. I'm going, why? Like, usually he'll get mad and Banner disappears and the Hulk smash and that's it.
Right, well, that didn't happen.
I think the Hulk's afraid of Thanos. He got his ass kicked.
He got humiliated and he didn't want to...
Well, actually, I guess that's right, okay.
Go to that again.
I mean, he's a five... I think the Hulk's a five-year-old kid or a six-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
And just got his butt whooped by the biggest bully in the schoolyard.
The first time in his life that he got his butt whooped like that.
Yep.
So Hulk's scared.
Hulk's scared.
Like, he doesn't want to come out. I like that. I thought it was something different. So we can use Hulk in the next movie to save the day.
Yeah.
Right, so it'll be overcoming that fear.
I thought it was a good crutch. I liked that a lot, actually.
It kind of sets up a cool arc for the next one.
Yes, I agree.
Right. Although we don't know where it's going or what's going to happen.
Correct. But I want to take that journey.
Yep.
So, Bob, what
And there are all sorts of rumors swirling, but, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Bob, your opinion?
Well, I liked the movie as a whole, but, like... Again, I was still disappointed in the whole... I know he was like, okay, now I know why, but it still didn't make sense to me because I've known the backstory of the Hulk and from years ago, and this didn't make sense. I like the story as a whole. The characters just, like, came at you. Almost every single one in the Marvel Universe, perhaps. Like, the interactions, I just thought something was missing, but then I find out, well... No, I didn't find out. I knew that a second part was coming. I just thought, there's got to be... I wanted more from this story. And I guess I'm going to get it from the second part, but I wanted more from the movie as a whole right now.
I think we just had
just a little taste.
What did you feel was lacking?
I can't put my finger on it, but it's just like, there's... I just sat there. I admit I went to see it twice. Of course, the second time was to see the very final scene. But I just felt something was missing. I don't know what it is.
Was it Hawkeye?
Was it Ant-Man?
No, that wasn't it. It's just like all these characters just coming at you.
Did you want more Pepper Potts?
Huh?
Did you want more Pepper Potts?
No.
I love Pepper Potts. Don't take away my Pepper Potts.
Give me my Pepper.
Give me my Pepper.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you feel at any time in this film it lacked characterization? Like development of characters?
I think the benefit of this film is you're going into this, hopefully, having seen most, if not all, of the Marvel films. This movie does not expect you to come in blindly, because you'll be lost. I mean, basically saying, see the other movies first. This is the culmination of 10 years of movie and reality building that they've done, world building. And so, if you go into this not knowing who the characters are, you're fucked. Sorry. you're fucked. You're basically going in and saying, I don't know what to do. Like, who are these people? What is this guy? Why does Ant-Man say that? Oh, is that Ant-Man? No, it's Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, I think I know that guy from the cartoons. You know, like, who is that guy with the cape? You know, like, I can see someone.
Thanos?
Yeah, exactly. Who are they afraid of?
Is that Barney?
What? That is Grimace.
I feel like, yeah,
Grimace, yeah.
I like the story with Thor and Rocket and the tree. Great. The interaction between those three, that was, like, when they got to the dwarf planet guy, that was good.
Oh, come on.
I think a lot of the joy was the interactions of seeing characters who've never met interact for the first time.
True. Like, I mean, it was so funny when it's just like, wait, like when the Guardians go on to Strange, Spider-Man, and Tony, it's like, wait, like, who are you guys? So I just thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like which god do you serve? I'm supposed to say Jesus.
Or they, you know, meeting Thor in space for the first time, and they're all admiring his lungs. This is a man. You know, Chris Pratt gets all nervous about it.
Perfect. I'm going to buy both of that, so I'm going to commit. I love that.
And then Spider-Man meets Doctor Strange for the first time, and Iron Man meets Doctor Strange, and...
Yeah.
You know, like, Groot meets Captain America, and he's like, I am Groot, I am Steve Rogers, you know, like, little interactions.
Oh, come on, when Rocket says, you speak Groot, yeah, I took it as whatever he says, I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah,
an elective course on Asgard.
Favorite scene, or does anybody have one?
I don't know. The only scene I thought, like, at least on the second viewing, like, the only scene that's like, okay, I could go to the bathroom at this point, was when Thor was getting the thing to turn on to do the hammer.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was like, okay, because this is before the big battle, I can go. I'll be back. I'm good. What was my only complaint about the movie was I didn't really know what Peter Dinklage's accent was.
It's Game of Thrones accent.
Yeah, Game of Thrones with a bit of Asgard, so I thought that was... I love the guy, though.
I think I experienced a moment of sheer joy when the characters were fighting in New York City.
Yes.
And Doctor Strange's cape is flying, and Spider-Man is chasing after the guy, and I'm like, this is the culmination of all of these movies. I like just to see this on screen and it's accepted. It looks real and it doesn't look forced and it doesn't look like I need a lot of warning or prep time for this. It's just happening and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah. I really liked on the ship when they're like, oh, the kids see more movies and then they do the thing from Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a great moment.
And then he's just coming at the screen, all frozen. That's cool.
And then there's that great moment when they're about to lose and they're going to be overwhelmed by those four-armed monster things. And then the Asgardian bridge opens up and Thor and Rocket and Groot show up. And Thor has his Return of the King moment where he's like, you know, here is the God of Thunder. You know, he's got the new axe. He's smiting the villains and turning the tide of battle. I thought that was a great moment.
And especially when Hulk's like, oh, you guys are so screwed now. Or Bruce, yeah. Did you guys read what Groot's last words were? He, when I'm Groot, he called the Rocket Dad.
And that was according to James Gunn's Twitter.
Yeah.
No, I must have missed that. I didn't.
That's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, he is Rocket as his father.
Yeah.
Bob, did you like the end of this film? No, Bob?
What? Yes, I guess. Well, did I like the end of the film?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. Not real. Well, it's hard to say. I know what's going to happen because they're going to come back, obviously.
See, I don't think they're all going to come back.
Well, not every single character, no.
No, I don't think Cap's coming back. I don't think Iron Man's coming back.
Well, here's the thing, though. Of course they're coming back because they're alive at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Captain America
didn't die. Iron Man didn't die. In fact, Iron Man surviving was the thing that's going to beat Thanos.
Sorry, I'm saying after Avengers 4, I think they're done. Sorry, I should rephrase that.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That was my mistake.
So Avengers 4 may be the final swan song of the original Avengers, or most of them?
I think so.
Although they're still saying they're going to do a Black Widow movie, so they won't kill Black Widow then, and Thor, he's already saying he's willing to do more. Like, I think that it's selective. We may see the end of Tony Stark, we may see the end of Captain America, or a Captain America.
Exactly, that's the way I feel about it.
But the thing is with those characters is you can always recast.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and bring them back. So if the original guys don't want to come back, I mean, we'll honor them by taking them off the field for a little while. But, you know, the apparently... So from what I know of the second film, it's going to shoot about 10 years into the future.
Really?
So some characters, yeah. So we're going to see teenage versions of the kid from Iron Man 3, and we're going to see a teenage version of... Cassie, Ant-Man's daughter.
Wow.
And so I think we may see a world of what it's like 10 years after Thanos won.
Okay.
And who's left. And Tony Stark will... Then it's we're going on a time travel movie. We're going to go back and revisit certain points to try to defeat Thanos that way. Although this is just conjecture from what I've seen and what I've learned a little bit.
Kang...
Let's kind of skip over.
Kang would be a great villain to show up in this one, yeah.
I think we'll see Kang then. If we're jumping that much time jump, Kang could be around.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll get my...
And then... Sorry?
Maybe I'll get real FF finally.
Well, and that's the thing, is that we're talking about the multiverse and we're talking about time travel.
Correct.
So maybe we're time traveling through the multiverse.
Maybe
we're not actually time traveling. But I think this is again when I talked in the last episode why I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to be the biggest movie of the summer. I think it's because something in that movie is going to help us figure out how to beat Thanos.
Okay.
That's cool. my belief.
Fair enough.
So, all right. So, anyway, I talked a lot. Anybody?
Bob, anything to say?
Nope, done.
And Daniel?
I already said no.
Yeah, I loved it. I watched it 3 times, so yeah, I thought it was really cool. And I picked up on new things each time. Like, for some reason, I forgot that Thanos says, like, oh, I'm going to watch the sunset on the Grateful Universe, and then the ending shot of him watching the sunset, so I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in a dark way.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
Actually, the second time I see it, I missed the appearance by the Red Skull, but the second time I saw it, I looked, and I saw exactly where he was, so I'm going, I didn't know that was the Red Skull the first time. I wasn't watching close enough.
I just want to say, I want to give full kudos to the Russo brothers. I mean, I fully enjoyed this film. I agree with Kevin. It's everything I thought of as a little kid, everything I thought growing up could never happen. And now I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, this to me is one of the almost a perfect superhero movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great too.
It just works on every level. It's nonstop action. I do have some minor nitpicks because that's who I am. I'm not going to get into them, but I enjoy it. My only problem is I don't like ScarJo as a Black Widow. She just never works for me.
You're not going to get into nitpicks? Why not? That's nice. I like you.
I don't think she's given a lot to do in this
one. Well, that's the problem. No. And I think Thanos' children blew me away how much I like them.
Yeah.
But I did like the comment when Gamora said, him? You're not getting that stone. He doesn't love anybody.
Yeah.
And I did like that line a lot. I quite enjoyed Gamora's death. I got
and then he's crying his eyes out. No, Gamora isn't dead.
No?
No. She's in the Soul Stone.
She gets
sacrificed. He had to sacrifice her to go to get the Soul Stone, but he had to sacrifice her soul into the Soul Stone.
Okay. Oh.
So there's that moment after he is stabbed in the chest by Thor and he snaps his fingers.
Yes.
And he falls backwards through a portal. And he's standing on a plateau of an orange sunset world.
Yes.
And there is young Gamora. And she says, well, is it everything you hope for or something like that? And then he says, yes, I think it was. And that's her in the Soul Storm trying to communicate with him.
Oh, yeah, like, what did it cost? And he says everything?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
So she's there. She's part of him now in some sense. But she's on Soul World. So it's like they have an insider being carried around in the gauntlet. Because we've seen in the comics, we know that Soul World is a thing. And that's like when the souls get sucked into the Soul Gem, they become part of the power. And you can pull yourself out if you have the right strength. But,
super cool.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along. What's up next, guys? I don't have my list.
Actually, let me say, the one interesting complaint I've heard, the one that I did like, was if Thanos has the power with the Infinity Gauntlet to destroy half the universe because he believes that it's a drain on the resources, why could he not use the Infinity Gauntlet to create more resources?
He could.
To create infinite resources for a full galaxy.
I think the argument is he doesn't care. He likes that. I think he does like the destruction.
Well, in the comics, we know he doesn't because he loves that. He actually wants her to love
him. Right. But I think
so it's a sacrifice to her.
I agree. He could do it, but I don't think he wants to do that. I think he just wants it the way he wants it.
Where's the fun in that?
Right.
I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
What's our next movie?
I don't have a list.
Pool harder.
Ryan Reynolds, the guy from Hunt for the Wilderness People, Josh Brolin, and Domino, whose name I don't know.
Jazzy Beats? Zazzy Beats.
No, that's not a real name.
No.
Bob, were you in Deadpool 2?
Yeah.
What? Deadpool 2, you just saw it.
I just saw it. I like the movie as a whole, but I have to go back to the first movie for you to understand why I'm having a problem with it. There was a scene, and you know the scene I mean. Like I couldn't stop laughing though when he punches Colossus and his head breaks. And I was laughing all through that. I was waiting for a scene like that in this movie. There was scenes where I'd chuckle a little, but there was no scene where I couldn't stop laughing. So I had a problem that way, but I enjoyed each and every scene. Like I thought it was good building up. It made sense that his girlfriend pushed him back in, said, no, you can't come. This is at the end, of course. Josh Brolin again is there, and he makes a perfect
Cable,
thank you. Domino's characters, like, I... Good. I just had a problem with... Not having comedy there the last time. There was comedy, but I'm going to be laughing continuously.
Okay. Who's up next? Bob Skype's not working well.
I'll go.
Okay, go.
What?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Sounds like your audio's cutting in and out. I thought it was really, really fun. I hadn't watched the original Deadpool for a while, but, yeah, actually, I thought this was really funny, and I think the scene for me that had me laughing a lot was, the Basic Instinct one, when his, with his little legs now.
Little legs? What are you looking at?
That is, we've all seen it, right? I don't want to spoil it.
Yes, spoil it.
Okay, yeah. Honestly, I like the story at the beginning so much that I forgot Cable was going to be in this. And I was like, oh, right. I forgot that there's a villain here. And, yeah, I was like, okay, great. Awesome. And did the film really have a villain?
No.
Cable wasn't a villain, though.
Well, I mean, at first he was, and then it switched.
It's really the headmaster at that school.
Yes.
Yeah. True, adding Arsene. Yeah.
And the kid was supposed to be the villain, but that one scene prevented him from becoming a villain because he said if he was to destroy the headmaster, then he would become the villain who destroys Cable's family in the future. So
basically, Looper. Yeah. I think the most traditional villain was, Eddie Marson or Juggernaut. He's also voiced by Ryan Reynolds, too.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, he's just, doing it with a deep voice. Did you guys notice Alan Tudyk as one of the rednecks on the...
I'm right at the
truck.
And Matt Damon's the other one.
I recognize the side of Alan Tudyk's face. I was like, is that Alan Tudyk? But Matt Damon's unrecognizable as the other guy.
Okay, my turn to go. Deadpool 2. Kev, can you help me here? I love the action scenes. Absolutely think they're fantastic. Any guy says hit it, Dolly, right off the film, and keeps me engaged, made me laugh so hard. It's my favorite scene.
Oh, that was true.
I thought that was great. But then he goes into what I like to call Gerard Butler mode.
Okay.
And he just talks to himself. And I'm like, I don't want to hear this. I don't care. Give me action. When there's no action in this film, I lose all interest in it. I thought the guy for Hunt for the Wilderness People bored the crap out of me.
The kid
was boring. Did nothing for me. Domino did nothing for me.
Domino was okay.
But I love the action scene. The end action scene was great. So I really felt like I got half a movie.
Mm.
Like, I really felt I was the expert. Like, the big action scenes were great. Kept me in thing. But anything else, I was getting bored. I didn't like the Basic Instinct thing. I'm like, this is dumb. I just was rolling my eyes. I mean, I love Cable, though. It was like, literally, I'm watching a little kid watching a big kid cycle around him with how good Josh Brolin was compared to Ryan Reynolds.
I really enjoyed it, actually.
That's my opinion. I didn't like this
one that
much. But I didn't really like the first one as much as everybody else, so.
Okay. So you don't like fun? Are you a fun sucker, Simon?
Yes, I'm a fun sucker. I hate movies. Yes. Bad song. You tell me every week. I hate movies.
Well,
hate them all.
I thought the Thanos joke was pretty good. Thanos, but it would have been funny if they would have made, a time travel joke. Oh, hey, you fucked time up both times, eh?
Hey, I'm Batman. Who are you? I'm Batman. I thought that was good. And I mean,
you're so dark, you must be from the DC Cinematic Universe.
Oh, God.
That was funny.
Doesn't stop. I met somebody. His name, mother's name was Martha, too.
I loved it when, cue the dubstep. I thought that was funny.
Yes. So, Bob, everybody chimed in? We're good?
I haven't given my review yet.
I'm sorry, you were missing.
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I purposefully did not learn anything about this film other than what I saw in the trailers. And I was very pleasantly surprised by some scenes. I love the X-Mansion scene when he's like, why is it every time I come here, I only see Colossus and I only see Phineas and Agastanigor? Where are the rest of the X-Men? Don't they care?
Oh, that was good.
And then you see Beast quietly closing the door, and there are all of the X-Men in mind. You can see Quicksilver, Professor X, Storm. They're all there. I thought that was a great moment. I'm like, they're in the prison, and you know there's a monster in the basement, and I'm like, please let it be the Juggernaut. Please let it be the Juggernaut. And it was the Juggernaut. And I loved it. And I thought, the music, when the Juggernaut was on screen, holy shitballs, it's the Juggernaut. Run for your life. Nothing can stop it. Holy shitballs. Holy shitballs. Holy fucking shit. We're dead. We're going to die. I thought that was great. Then the Juggernaut just picks him up and rips him in half. And throws him on the ground. And so he has to be, you know, taped up and grow baby legs. And I loved it. I thought all those were great little moments, right? Sorry.
And Dolphinder had his time to shine, too. A little bit.
Yeah. I got a text from you.
Good.
Oh,
the taxi driver.
Sure. Oh, you got it.
Is that what the message is?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I
can.
Go get that now.
Can I say one more thing about that whole
thing? Yes.
I think my only complaint, even though it was hilarious about the high winds parachuting, I wanted more Terry Crews in Bill Skarsgård.
Terrible. I got so sick of that bad joke.
About the high winds?
Oh, God, it was so bad.
I thought it was kind of funny that they all died, though, and then, Brad Pitt's there for a second.
Yes, sure.
I'm the vanity. I'm like, oh, I can't take this. It's joke.
Apparently he did it for a cup of coffee, so that was kind of funny.
I thought that joke was terrible. I couldn't handle it. I really could not
handle
that joke. I thought it was so bad.
Okay.
My eyes rolled at that point. I'm like, joke.
X-Force. Don't you think it's derivative?
Oh, another bad joke.
Oh,
this is going to be drawn by a guy that can't draw ankles. I'm like, oh, Rob joke, which was good. Like I said, parts of it I thought were okay. I just had a lot of problems with it.
Are we done talking about Deadpool 2?
I have. I
think so. I just got a good transition. Hey, Bob, speaking about taxi drivers, what did you think about Taxi Driver?
Oh, that's a good point, Bob.
Weren't we doing Ready Player One?
No, we forgot to ask about
Taxi Driver. Sorry, it was a good transition. I thought I'd take it.
No, that's good. You were supposed to be back on the show until you talked about Taxi Driver. I forgot.
Yeah, well, I watched Taxi Driver.
And?
I was very, very, very disappointed. It was supposed to be this great movie. Like, I heard so many, I said, oh, this is a great movie, you should really watch it, and, like, it has these themes, it's R-rated, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, I don't care. And, you know, it comes to that scene, you know, that's the scene where he says, are you looking at me, are you looking at me, because I hear the only one here, and I'm waiting, and that just, like, he was alone when he said it, I'm going, really? I admit it's not a Bob movie, but this has nothing to do with it being a Bob movie or not. I should go, I watched it, I'm going, I don't care.
I have to disagree with you, Bob.
Hold on, wait a second. Yeah. This is one of the greatest movies ever made, and you're dissing it.
That's okay.
Well, because I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it.
Personally, it bored me a little bit.
Thank you.
I have a small attention span.
And a small
different time,
sure.
Too.
Did you say that out loud?
I have a small attention span.
Oh, that's not what I heard. I heard small pecker. Sorry.
Oh,
is it
cool.
Attention
span?
That was Deadpool. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Deadpool. So true.
It's just like, it was going on, and I waited about a week and a half to watch it. I'm going, well, this should be good, and then I was waiting, and it's still. I know you're going to say I'm wrong, but it doesn't matter. I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think Taxi Driver is a film one enjoys.
Correct.
I think it's a film you, in some sense, you enjoy it.
It's not why we watch movies, to enjoy them or not enjoy them.
No, not always.
Sometimes you can study them, right?
I think.
I studied it. It didn't pass the grade.
I think Travis Bickle is a screwed up person, and being a taxi driver has messed with his head a little bit, and he doesn't know how to relate to people.
That's for sure. He didn't think to Seth Shepherd at all.
And I think, well, he wants to. He's trying to connect with her, but he ends up being more of a stalker and a perv.
Yeah.
But it's also a case of a film being made in the early 70s, so the pacing is different.
Yeah.
We didn't always have quick jump cuts. We often had long, continuous cuts, and, you know, it was people talking, and, you know, there wasn't fast movement. This is not a fast-moving film. Although it is a film about, you know, obsession.
Yeah.
Right? So he's a former Vietnam vet. He's driving a taxi cab, and he's seeing the worst of humanity. And the Sybil Shepherd character represents the best of humanity. She's perfect
right.
in his mind, and he's obsessing about her. He wants to be around her, but in some cases he's trying to sully her. He takes her to the porn film and things like that. But he can't really mess with her. So he thinks the way to, I don't know what, to connect with her is to kill her candidate that she's supporting.
Yeah.
And then he ends up screwing that up. And then he does the one other thing he thinks he can do to make himself a hero, which is save the young prostitute.
Jodie Foster,
That was one of the better parts, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And that scene, that weird scene where it's almost like his soul is leaving his body after he's killed the pimps and whatnot, and he's lying on the couch and he's bleeding. And he's bleeding to death, and you think, oh, well, this is it. And then the next thing you know, he's back to square one. So it's almost like he's ascended to another state. He's become the hero he wanted to be. He achieved his goal, and we bring him back. And he's right back where he started, driving a cab. His morality, he's not as crazy as he was. He's been given some meds, I assume. And he's back on the street trying to figure out how this all fits together again. And we know he's going to duplicate the cycle.
Yeah.
That's going to happen again. He's going to get weirded out by what he sees driving the cab, and he's going to find something to hook onto, and he's going to do something stupid again. But it's still an interesting study of human nature. And a beautiful film to watch, I think.
It's true. And the psychology of it is definitely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched this forever, but I just remember being... kind of, it's just really slow, but I liked it for, like, because it's good, it's still good filmmaking. But yeah, I wasn't really entertained. But you don't have to be with us, I guess.
I wanted to be entertained. Like, Robert De Niro, I thought, okay, he's gonna entertain me. Nope.
Definitely watched the. We should have warned you. We definitely watched the wrong movie if you wanted entertainment.
Yeah. But I think I think sometimes we have to watch films like this. I think it helps give you perspective.
That's why I got to force myself to watch 2001: A Space Odyssey, because that's really boring.
It's so boring. It is ridiculously boring.
You guys can hear me that if I lose, because I
went to a screening of Taxi Driver with Paul Schrader, the guy that wrote it.
Well,
oh, really?
At the Royal Theatre in downtown Toronto a few years ago. Debbie and I went. She got us tickets for that. And it was fascinating. It was a very interesting look. And it's the same type of thing that has captivated Schrader through his other films as well. That same type of obsession. He was trying to pitch some new movie he had with actual porn stars. And
That came out. I saw it.
Yeah, it did.
Terrible.
Nope.
Middleman?
No, it had Lindsay Lohan. You guys keep talking. I'll find it.
Oh, James Dean and
The Canyon.
That's it. The Canyon.
That's it. Yes.
That was so boring. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was trying to push that as a great film. And no, I don't think the audience was quite that.
Well, since I did buy it, I can probably watch it again.
You won't.
What, Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Well, you only watch it if you want to see it again. To me, it's like...
Well, no, because you've explained what I'm missing in it. Like, if I watch it from that perspective of it being like something obsession, what else did you say? A study in...
Well, it's a psychological drama. But in another way, too, it's also a brilliant movie. And it's got a whole bunch of movie-making techniques in it that were new in 1971. With the way the camera is used, with the Steadicam and its three-level talking. We didn't see that kind of stuff and you don't see that in films prior to that. And Scorsese in itself was creating a filmmaking revolution that sort of, and in some ways Taxi Driver leads into the 1970s. I'd say Taxi Driver, maybe Planet of the Apes, they lead into the 1970s and we get basically 10 years of brilliant filmmaking and game-changing filmmaking. I know you're bored now, but sorry.
I'm not.
Not because of what you're saying. It's just like, it is 10 different, so.
But as a student of film, it's a great film to see. Maybe read the screenplay, because it could make the pacing go faster if you read it fast. I don't know. That's my theory.
Like you said, you found it slow, right, Daniel?
Yeah, I did.
I think that's my problem. It was, like, usually I don't mind a slower film, but this one I just found too slow. It was just like, let's go.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't find it interesting to me.
Well, at least you saw it. You didn't know what all the fuss is about.
You didn't get warm and fuzzies there, Bob?
No warm and fuzzies.
Oh.
Yeah, just records or something. Sorry.
Well, I watched it. You can't say I didn't watch it.
No, that's good work. You're supposed to watch it.
Oh. Hey, Simon.
Yes, Kevin.
How are we for time? How many movies do you think you want to do more?
I'll do whatever you guys want to do. You've got 17 minutes.
Okay. Why don't we go into our next film, which is Ready Player One?
Sure.
See it twice.
You've seen it twice?
Yep.
What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. It gave you all the pop culture references in one movie. I got to see so the old Batmobile, every other thing. What else? I forget. The Iron Giant, a movie I've never seen. So.
Oh my God! We know your assignment is right there.
What?
I will be assigning you the Iron Giant.
I know you will.
Love that film.
That's so good.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
And you'll really like The Iron Giant.
Probably. Maybe.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, I'm finished.
Okay.
Oh, is that it? You have nothing to say? Did anything bother you? Anything you didn't like?
Anything I didn't like? No, because I saw it twice. First, then again, I saw Avengers Infinity twice. I just like the pacing of it, and they met each other in real life as opposed to the digital world, I guess you call it. The
Oasis.
Yeah, the Oasis. Like, they got to see them outside of the Oasis, so I thought that was good.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel, what do you think?
You know, I liked it, but, I think I got all my pop culture fix with Wreck-It Ralph. I could have just watched that again.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get a dose of that in the fall.
Hey, no, the second one, I forgot, Break the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the movie, but I thought, the pacing, and then, it was just a bit long for me. And, I think the Shining scene, when they enter the Shining movie, I think that's one of my favorite scenes this year. I just thought that was cool because I love The Shining. And, as a whole, I thought it was decent, but I don't know how quickly I'll go back to it. But it's a cool concept because exactly it's like Willy Wonka liked video games kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, I put down some notes. I'll see if there's any points I want to bring up. I guess. Yeah, the premise is super creative, but yeah, when they went out of the Oasis, I think I liked them better when they were in the video game. It's just okay, get out of
the video game, but, you know, I thought the characters were a bit boring outside of the game. And I just, at points, I just didn't really care, and it just got wrong, but, like, visually it's really cool, and, yeah, it's a cool premise.
Okay, I'm going to jump in because I haven't said much. I think it's very visually stimulating. But I want to give that. I love the pop culture stuff. I have a lot of problems. I think I like the first track, like the first game I enjoyed. But after I got bored. I'm kind of like, it's just, why would he tell his friends? And then everybody got it. I'm kind of like, okay. But I was kind of dumb. That kind of annoyed me. I'm like, shouldn't other people figure it out, or could there have been more games to play, or something?
The race was super cool, right?
I liked the race. The race was amazing, and I thought the third game was so lame, I'm kind of like, eh? Okay.
Oh, right, when they just have to pick the right game?
Yes.
And find the Easter egg, yeah.
I was like, that was kind of dumb. And, I mean, I gotta agree, I thought the characters weren't overall interesting. I thought they were very cookie-cutter, very basic. I'm ugly and the chick's hot? Really? okay.
Yeah, but she has a minor scar, which makes her feel...
It must have been a left nut, because I never saw it.
Yeah. Wasn't it like, kind of like a fruit punch thing on her face?
Yeah, yeah, like a birthmark or something.
Yeah, nonsense.
Like Domino has in another movie.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. I just wanted more, and I didn't get it. I don't know if Spielberg's issue, the book's issue. I've never read the book, so I don't know what I'm missing, but I wanted more from this.
That's greedy, Simon.
I know, because I like Simon Pegg's character a lot.
Yeah, I do. I like Ben Mendelsohn. I didn't really like his character, but I like him as an actor.
Yeah, I thought the whole scene with him was just... I didn't get it. I'm just like, I don't like this at all. I'm bored.
And his avatar was kind of weird. Like, just a big guy in a suit, you know?
Yeah, it was just like, eh. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was technically well done, well directed. Had some script issues, I thought. Some pacing issues.
DJ Miller was a voice in it.
Oh, God, I'm done with him. He needs to go away.
I don't know why it couldn't have just been
real. There was Simon Pegg.
No, I love Simon Pegg.
Or was Simon Pegg? I missed that.
Oh, he was, the creator's friend, or the co-creator of the Oasis. He came at the end, he was in, like, old makeup. He was like, oh, hey, like, you get the game now. Can I come work for you?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh. Okay.
Kevin?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I like this movie. I thought it was okay.
See?
The effects were okay. The gaming part of it, I mean, it's just basically a big video game. And so I liked parts of it. I said I liked the race. I liked how he figures out how to go backwards. I don't understand, again, why he shares with everybody else. Wouldn't you take that knowledge and go and figure out the next clue by yourself? But I don't know. I guess he's not a selfish person. And I would be. So the second part of it I did like the Shining part of it. I thought that was very well done.
It all was. It looked like the Shining.
And I love
like
that
hotel.
Sorry if I could just interject for a sec. I love just the idea of someone who hasn't seen the Shining in that world and they don't know what the heck is going on. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can continue.
I like that. I like other parts of it. The epic battle was fantastic. You get to see, it's just picking out the pop culture references, and it's kind of mind overload, because there are so many. And then, of course, to have a big battle between Gundam and Mechagodzilla is like some fan's wet dream.
Hi! Hi!
Yeah. So that was pretty good. But I thought it was in a lot of ways, it's also a cookie-cutter 80s movie.
Yep.
With puzzles, and the guy gets the girl, and at the end he discovers that, you know, doing the puzzles isn't the most important thing. Getting laid on a regular basis is. And that's the message of the movie.
So it's war games.
What's up?
It's war games.
Yes, you make yourself mega rich and get the babe and you'll...
Games close on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so you can get some.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
Did you guys
notice, the abusive stepdad or whatever, that's the guy from The Witch?
Yeah,
and,
I knew that.
Hurricane Heist? Ralph Innocent? Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
Who cares?
No. Anyway, yeah. Just that I like him.
Trotting along. Where are we off to, Dev?
Well, what are we doing for time?
We got 10 minutes.
Now, why don't we do that modern classic, The Week Of?
Okay.
So Simon picked the Netflix original for us.
Well, I think we need to do it. Well, three of us have Netflix, and it's an easy movie that we can all watch.
It's not an easy movie to watch.
No, I didn't. We can watch. We all can watch it, but Bob, because Bob never has time to come over here anymore to watch movies, so. He's too busy for it. Pardon, Bob?
You didn't invite me over.
This one I watched when I was on holiday, so you couldn't have come over. You were busy.
And you can't. Then that comment made no sense.
Yeah, nothing does. So The Week Of. Now, I
the
saw...
Your comment made no sense.
It's a Happy
Madison. You were away on holidays.
It's a Happy Madison film starring
Rachel
Chris
Dreyfuss.
Rock and Adam Sandler.
Rachel Dreyfuss.
And Jennifer Sandler for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Jennifer Sandler? Should I know her?
His wife.
Daughter.
Not his wife. The black
Adam
woman?
Sandler's wife.
Adam Sandler's wife was Rachel Dreyfuss. Rachel Dreyfuss.
Rachel Drake. Jennifer Sandler played the mom of the weird rehab kid who always had weird triggers, like music.
Oh, like you. That's you in the movie, right?
Yeah, that's me, yeah. They based it on my life. Yeah.
I thought they did. Kevin?
It's pretty accurate.
What's his name from Boardwalk Empire, isn't it?
Steve Buscemi.
Oh, Steve Buscemi.
This movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to start this. I want to apologize for saying we needed to watch this.
Thank you.
Apologize. I am so sorry.
Thank you. That means a lot, actually.
I'm 5 minutes in, Rachel Dreyfuss was talking, I was done. I'm like, okay, can I turn this off now? I dislike you. You stink, you shouldn't have a job, and you took somebody's job away, I'm convinced.
She should never be top 5 billing cast. Like, she's fine in supporting roles, like, she's there for 2 minutes, but it's like, okay, wait, why are you getting so much screen time? I'm mad.
Did somebody let Chris Rock phone this in, or he just sent his stunt double?
I think he sent his stunt double in.
All he does is walk around with a stupid grin on his face, and I want to hit him with a 2x4.
Yeah, his role is right up there with the part in the film.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he plays, their children are getting married, Chris Rock and Adam Sandler's.
Correct.
And Adam Sandler is trying to do everything himself in his family. He doesn't want any financial aid from Chris Rock.
He's a rich heart surgeon.
Exactly. So the guy has money to burn. But Adam Sandler doesn't want it because he has to prove to his daughter that he can do this. But he can't do this. Everything is a mess. The hotel is a disaster.
The ceilings are leaking.
And that joke just they kept beating that joke. The ceiling joke?
And the hotel manager just laughed it off because he's a fucking idiot. I don't know.
God, the ceiling joke was terrible.
But nothing was funny. That was the thing. It was like nothing was amusing about any of this. It was just painful.
Come on, Rachel Dreyfuss phoning the heart surgery and surgery, and she keeps talking. Was that supposed to be funny?
I think I got like a laugh was, or just I thought it was kind of funny when like he's like racist and he's like, oh hey, you two random black guys walking by, come, your cousins, come get.
I don't
breakfast.
Think he was racist. I just don't think he knew what the cousins looked like.
Okay, that's fair. I just thought it was kind of like,
I mean,
okay.
He just met them the night before, and he's running around like a crazy man. I don't give him credit. He only met them once. I mean, he's doing the white thing. Okay, there's 5 black guys in my house. Okay, they must be part of it.
Yeah, make them look certain.
And who goes into the house and has breakfast? Really?
I'd be like, no, I just... why would they go in, right?
That was so dumb. And the mayor was dumb. I thought the uncle with no legs was dumb.
Why? Every gag they had, it overstayed its welcome. It's like, oh, no, he didn't lose his legs to diabetes or anything. He lost them in World War II. And it's like,
And then the mayor, who's the scumbag, and then putting the bats in the hotel, in the city hall.
Okay.
Yeah, it just kept going on.
Did anybody feel as bad as I did that Steve Buscemi was trying his hardest?
Yeah, but there was nothing to work with.
And I felt bad. I'm like, Steve is actually making an effort. He's like,
I thought it was kind of amusing that he brought the giant bottles of booze.
Yes, that was the only good kind of chuckle in the whole movie. And I'm like, that's kind of funny.
And, yeah, like, when he's like, oh, I need a smoke, and he takes the big, oversized thing of cigarettes.
What? You already ate the chocolate bar.
He's eating the Toblerone.
I thought that was kind of good.
But then they go get bats to put in the mayor's office. It's like, what? Why? Why are you guys actually doing this? Why is this a good idea? Why did you make this movie?
Because Sandler owes
contractual
Netflix money.
Obligations.
He's got to make movies every year.
And then apparently Seymour can't take a shit at his own house, and they have to wake him up and put him in the car whenever they leave.
I don't know. Couldn't get the wheelchair to fold. That was a whole joke. I'm like,
And why do they have that gag three times with them arguing loudly in their room when everyone could hear it? And then I hated that that woman, the mother-in-law with the contacts. She looks like a snake. It's like why. Why is this a
movie?
She loves him.
I told you, she's very happy.
This movie finally finished. I was like, yes. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me, guys. I'm so sorry.
Who thought it would be a good idea to have, like, at the end, have the Asian girl go over to, like, the neighbor?
Painful joke.
How are they relevant that this is the last scene you want to do before them talking over the credits?
Nothing. There was no point to that scene. And you knew it was already set up prematurely.
And then Steve Buscemi, like putting his arm around the best friend. It's like, did you grope your dad's ass too? And then they kiss. It's like, stop.
And that female bachelor party, Mike, and the woman that's trying to take over, she's like the girl from Girls Night. I can't remember her name. She's in 21.
Tiffany Haddish?
Not Tiffany Haddish, the other one. Girls Trip, the Scarlett Johansson one.
Jillian Bell. She looks like her, too.
And they try to find a Jillian Bell lookalike to do Jillian Bell.
Oh, that's a good frickin' point,
And
man.
It was killing me. I'm like, you're not Jillian Bell.
Like,
please
look at all
stop
these
playing Jillian Bell. And I'm like, you're not, and this, it's just, everything about this film was terrible.
Yeah.
I am so sorry again. I'm repeating it. I felt
this is
bad.
This is like a 0 or a 0.5.
I haven't, you guys will get the tweet ahead of time. It's going to be tomorrow's tweet, and it's going to be a 0. Okay.
And yeah, I don't understand why Chris Rock did this.
Do you guys want to know? Oh, because he loves Adam Sandler. They're buddies. Do you guys want to know what I bought? I finally found the stuff.
What did you buy?
I found some stuff I don't think I put on the show. No Way Back with Russell Crowe.
Okay.
You seen this one, Kevin?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
One Hour with John Wayne.
What?
One Hour with John Wayne and Lauren Bacall. Judgment at Nuremberg, because I figured I should finally watch this.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Cromwell with Richard Harris and Alex Guinness.
Oh, yeah, that's another one, too.
I found this gem, The Great American Western, all starring Levon Von Cleef movies.
Is somebody audio being really windy?
Yeah, I can hear that. It's not me. Somebody's got their... I'm in the basement, so it won't be mine.
Oh, you know what? It may be that the fan blew on my iPad.
Oh, okay. So, come on. Levon Van Cleef, 4 movies in over 6 hours. You just don't get that every day.
No.
And look at this great production.
That's
Sam
a lot of
Elliott and Jerry O'Connell in a Ranger, the Crook, and a Hole in the Sky.
Okay.
Quality there.
Okay.
It's not mid-2000s, so I haven't heard of it.
Sam Elliott and Jerry O'Connell back in Nick Stahl in Blue River.
Don't know it.
And something I mean to watch for years, The Crossing Guard with Jack Nicholson.
Oh.
I mean to watch that. And, come on, Just for Bob, Matilda and Matilda. Will Ferrell, Johnny Lee Miller, Rashida Mitchell, Amanda Peet, Chloe Savini, and Wallace Shawn. Classic.
How is that me?
Just like a Bob movie. And my last one is One Man's Hero with Tom Berenger. Classic finds you find at garage sales, baby. So I'll be on my Twitter at extrafeatures.ca, extrafeatures, PC. That's me. You can read all the reviews there.
I hope you didn't pay a lot of money.
50 cents each.
Oh, wow.
I don't pay any more than 50 cents.
Overpaid.
How much did you spend on Avengers, Bob? $40?
What?
You've seen Avengers 3 times.
Twice.
Try again. I've seen it 3 times.
Okay, how much did you spend on Avengers? Did you go for free, or did you spend points, or did you pay?
I paid.
Right, so you paid $30, right?
Sure.
I paid $5 for hours of entertainment I haven't seen.
And you'll see it.
That's not nice to say. Well, I'm out of here because we got to go.
All right, we got to go now.
So you can find this show, our interview shows, our 20 Minutes with Chad shows, all at the same place, www.extrafeatures.ca. Please join us for our game at Fantasy Movie Challenge, I think it is. I don't have it in front of me. You can find Bob on Twitter at Bob McBride 1985 or whatever your number is.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Kevin what? Is Kevin
Webb,
I think.
You cannot find me
at
Bob 1985. 1965? Nope.
Can't remember. 61?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You're not putting it out there?
I'll have one list. That'd be good.
Okay, Dan, where can they find you on the internet?
Daniel Prin at Daniel Prin for my Twitter, and filmcraziest@wordpress.com for my movie site.
Yeah, well, I'll put you asleep.
Haha, no, it's quality content.
Kev the Dub?
I'm on Twitter as Kev_the_Bev, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm all over the place. My websites are comicbooklounge.com, JoeSchusterAwards.com. I also work for Fan Expo on all their shows, so you can't escape.
And if they make it?
Simon makes us watch it.
Fair enough. Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.